Turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6, verse 1. It's where we begin our study this morning. Continue our study in the book of Acts. And you may notice that I jumped a little bit. It is true, I did. We skipped over a chapter, but that is the direction that the Lord led. So that's my reasoning there. You know, coming up in the near future, well, actually next Sunday evening, we are having a deacon ordination at Victory. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. We're ordaining three men. And I'm going to ask you to pray for these men. I'm going to ask you to pray for those services that are in store next Sunday evening. And I'm going to ask you to be here for those services. Okay? Oftentimes we get the mentality Sunday night's not important. It is important. Okay? But next Sunday night is especially important as we ordain three of our good men to the office of deacon. So be in prayer about that, and be sure and be present for those services next week. If you've never been to a deacon ordination, we'll let next week be your first one, okay? Let's stand as we look into the Word of God, Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. This is, of course, the first deacons. Verse 1 says, "Now in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." Continuing our study of Jesus building His church. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank You. Lord, we rejoice that You are building Your church at Victory. We rejoice that You're building Your church by changing lives and growing disciples. And I pray, Lord, that as we look into Your word today, that You would give us understanding and insight. Teach us, Lord, from Your word. Teach us Your ways, that we may know You and that we may walk in Your ways. Lord, we pray Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I believe this, as I said before, to be the origin of the ordination of the first deacons. And I've often heard it said in today's culture that, you know, we don't need deacons today. No, you're wrong. Okay? And I'm just bold enough to say it. You're wrong. We need deacons today. We need men who will serve in the true office of a deacon in the very sense of that office for which it was set aside. We need men. The word deacon means to serve, and we need men willing to serve. In a culture today where people really don't want to serve anymore. And so today we begin, as we look at this first ordination of deacons, we begin with the grumbling. The church grew, but the people grumbled. Now, the first thing we notice was in the text, it says the number of disciples were multiplying. I like that word. As a matter of fact, I pray that into the church here at Victory. I pray that God multiplies this membership. But as we continue to read, we also see something that's not very unique that, as a matter of fact, will happen every time the church grows. The more you grow, the more opportunity there is for complaint. Church people would never complain, would we? Not us. That word complaint in the Greek, it means to grumble or talk secretly. Or the King James says murmur. The idea is that nobody wanted to be verbal. So we just kind of whispered it around a little bit. Yeah, I mean, you know how we do, right? When I'm talking to Brother Michael and I say, look around, I make sure nobody else is here. Yeah, we had a good service Sunday, Brother Michael, but I wish this had happened, or I wish that happened, you know. Have you ever grumbled? I have. And what I want you to notice about this grumbling is that it was a valid complaint. Just because we grumble doesn't mean we don't have ground to grumble. Amen? Bless your heart. Just because we grumble doesn't mean that we don't have grounds for grumbling. And in this case, there's no indication that there was not a real problem. And I, you know, understand when grumbling, I'm not saying, I'm not talking about, well, I don't like the color of the pews or the color of the carpet. I'm talking about people that had a real complaint. The Hellenist widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food as this church took care of the widows. And just to give you a little background, and I keep repeating this, but I'm going to repeat it again. 3,000 were added to the church in Acts chapter 2. Then in Acts chapter 4, 5,000 believed and were added to the church. And the result of this commitment and this influx of people were all that had possessions and lands sold their possessions and gave it to the church. What an awesome plan. I knew I wouldn't get any amens there either. Right? This is not commanded. This is not something that is commanded of Scripture. This is something the people did of their own free will. Okay? And so what it developed was, as people sold their property, they'd come and they'd lay it at the feet of the disciples, and it was the apostles' job to figure out, okay, where do we need to put all this money? Or where do we need to use this money? And so what I want you to first of all understand is, the more the church grows, the more victory grows. And victory is growing. The more opportunity there's going to be for complaints. Okay? Don't lose it when you hear a complaint. All right? I've been pastoring going on 30 years. And you know, I've come to the point where, you know, when somebody complains, it's okay. I don't mind. But what I've also discovered is that a lot of the complaints have ground for complaints. They're valid. Okay? Just because you don't want to say something doesn't mean that you shouldn't say something. Right? And when complaints arise, don't take it personally. Okay? If we need work in the youth department, let's work on the youth department. If this pastor needs work on his messages, let's work on the messages. If whatever the problem is, you know, don't view it as, okay, yeah, I can't believe they're talking about me. View it as, okay, what do I need to do to address this complaint? Now, I get that there are some complaints that are unfounded. You know what you do about those? Just ignore them. Forget them. But those that there are grounds, take seriously. And see what has to happen when these problems arise. We have to have people willing to say, yes, we need to work on that. We need to do that better. And we also have to have people willing to say, choose me. I will work on that to make it better. Do we have, are you that kind of person? That's the kind of person that we need. You see, the disciples were facing an undesirable distraction. The disciples had wound up with a job that they never thought about themselves having. And as this complaint or this, they were saddled with this job, they realized, hey, this is not what I'm called to do. When Jesus called them, He didn't say, well, when He commissioned them there in Acts chapter 1, He said, you shall be witnesses unto me into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. He didn't say, you're going to be the ones that take care of the Hellenist widows. That wasn't their job. That wasn't what they were called to do. And so in verse 2, it says that, or they said that it's not desirable that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. I want you to understand, these guys didn't say, that's below us. What they're saying is, this is not what God called us to do. You know, when a pastor abandons the Word of God, now listen to this and listen to it good. When a pastor abandons the Word of God, trouble's coming. Trouble for that pastor, trouble for that church. And what's going to happen is there's this big void that's going to develop within that pastor and within the church that can be filled by nothing else. And so the disciples, or the apostles say, we're going to give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Y'all seek out 7 good men, but we're going to give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the Word. That word, give ourselves, in the Greek, it literally means to be loyal to. What they're saying is, we're going to be loyal to what God has called us to be. And isn't that the requirement of a pastor? Shouldn't that be the focus of a pastor? That the Word of God take precedence above everything else in ministry in the life of a pastor. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? I didn't get that when I first surrendered to preach. As a young pastor, I thought the busier that I was, the more holy I was. And I thought, okay, it's my job to attend every hospital visit, attend every surgery, to be the leader of every building endeavor that the church does, and to be involved in every church program, and make every youth trip and every seniors trip, and to do everything. And you know what happened? I found myself cramming on Saturday night to preach on Sunday. I was like a school kid studying for finals. Every week it was the same thing. Wednesday night was the same thing. I was doing so many different things that Wednesday afternoon, 2 hours before time to preach, boy, I'm in there just cramming, trying to get something to say. And you know, I was empty. I was not satisfied. I was not growing. And the church that I pastored was not growing. Why? Because I wasn't doing what God called me to do. Right? That's why that's why today I place so much emphasis on time in the Word of God, you know? And I'll still go to hospitals on occasion and make visits on occasion. But the Word of God has to be the priority in ministry. That's what I'm called to do. And that I can show no greater love for this membership than dedicating myself and being loyal to the Word of God, so that when the opportunity rises, I'm ready to stand before you and share the Word of God. that's my goal. That's my desire. That's where my heart is. And you know, when that happens, and that's what happens here. When that happens, you know what the result is? Verse 7. He says, and the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. When the apostles said, we're going to do what God called us to do, they were ready to go with the gospel and with the word of God every time they had opportunity. And when the people came, they would feed the people spiritually. And it worked. You know what? There are a lot of things. Church growth books and church growth programs in the world today. And you want to read a book on church growth, go to Amazon and they've got all kinds of books. Or go to iBookstore and they've got all kinds of books. But I truly believe with all my heart that the key to church growth is the Word of the living God. It is alive. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. My friends, this has to be the focus. And I'm not preaching this to complain or I'm just so that you understand how the church prospers. That's why I'm preaching this, okay? That has to be the focus of the pastor. But what about the problem? There was still a problem. These guys were doing what God called them to do. We're gonna be loyal to the Word of God. But there's still some widows that are neglected. Ah, we've got to find some men to fill this need. We've got to find some men who want to serve. And so they told the church there in verse 3, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. You know what that word business means in the Greek? It literally means need, that we may appoint over this need. Men willing to serve. And I told you before, that's what the word deacon literally means. It means to serve. Men who says, choose me. I want to serve my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by taking care of His people. That's what these 7 guys that were named and willing to serve were saying. Men, it says, of good reputation. You know the root word of that word reputation is martyr. We're going to talk about deacons. You've got to have a reputation. Everybody has a reputation, right? Some good, some not so good. But as these apostles said, seek out 7 men of good reputation, that when people look at them, they think automatically, there's a man who's seeking God. You know, do you realize that when people say your name, automatically something comes to mind? Guys? You know, you say some names and the first thought is, talks too much. Some names, hot-headed. But when you say these names, the first thought that comes to mind is, here are men that want to follow God. Men of a good reputation. Not perfect. And please understand, when we look at deacons and we say, well, you know, but back 30 years ago, I know what he was when he was a kid. We were all kids once. Amen. And if you're like me, we all made some very poor choices along the way. You see, they weren't looking for men who were perfect, who did not have a past of, okay, there was something in that past. That's not what they were looking for. Find 7 men of good report. Men who, when the church looks at them, they can say, I trust this guy. I respect this guy. Men who are willing to serve. And I tell you what, we're living in a world that's not the culture of today's churches. You know, churches are bending over backwards, trying to be what everybody wants a church to be. And the idea of church has never been, come here. Come here and we'll just do whatever you need us to do. No, a church is a place for you to serve and to grow. That's the idea behind church. These men of good reputation, were men. When people talked about them, the thought was, now there's a good man. Not a perfect man, but a good man. Men of full of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be full of the Holy Spirit? It means to be led of the Holy Spirit. And not allow, you know, something else. It's easy to be led by other things. Okay? For example, when I get angry, it's easy to be led by anger. You know what I'm talking about? Because when I'm angry and I'm led by anger, I always say something that I shouldn't say or do something that I shouldn't do. That's the idea here, except in the life that I live, I want to live by following God. Once again, you're not perfect. But the goal of life being men who are willing to pray and seek God's leadership in their lives and in the lives of the church. Don't we need men like that? You know, when we think of pastor, we think, well, sometimes we think if there's a special guy, he's supposed to be prayed up and in tune with the Lord, and that is very true. But you know, deacons should be prayed up also. They should be in following the leadership of the Lord as they minister. Men, it says, who are filled with wisdom. You know what that word wisdom means? It doesn't mean to be smart. It means to use the knowledge that you have. There are some deacons in this church. I love all our deacons very much. But I want to tell you, from the time that I came here about 9 years ago, I discovered there's some deacons in this church I really pay attention to. Because they know the church. They know where it's been. They know the people even better than I do after I've been here for 9 years. And I value their input. I value their wisdom. And there's been several times that some of our deacons have come to me and said, Brother Doug, I love you, but you might want to think about this. And you have no idea. Well, maybe you do, but that helps. That helps. They're not out to say, Brother Doug, you better straighten up. No, Brother Doug, you know, there's something you need to think about. Men who've got their finger on the pulse of the church, probably half of you know who I'm talking about. Men that are respected. I mean, these are part of a growing church. If the church is going to grow, they've got to have men willing to serve, men willing to have that godly reputation so that when people look at them, they see men of God. Men who know how to use what they know from the Scripture. And so they chose these seven men. And said they laid hands on, they prayed for them, and they laid hands on these men. The idea there is support and an agreement. Do you pray for our deacons? Remember when I started this message, I said, pray for our deacons and pray for these guys who are being ordained. They're not going to be perfect. No, absolutely not. But they are doing a godly work. And the only way to do a godly work is through godly power. And the only way for godly power is on your knees. Pray for these men. Support them in your daily prayer life. And I want to challenge you this week. Lift them up in your prayers. that they may be the best deacons that they can possibly ever be. Pray for them. And they laid hands on them. Have you ever been to an ordination service? You don't see Baptists laying hands on people very often, do you? And so I've had people come to an ordination service and we lay hands on that individual and they're like, "What's up with that? What's up with that, preacher?" Here's the idea: is setting someone apart for a special mission. Okay? That's the way they used to do the Levites in the book of Numbers chapter 8. They'd lay hands on them to separate them to the priestly office. Same idea is here. We're not separating these men to a priestly office, but rather we're separating these men to a godly service. And so the common concept there, prayer and laying on of hands, is support. So I want to challenge the church. Support our deacons. Support our prayer. Support them with your prayers. Support them with your encouragement. Support our deacons. They're good men. They're not perfect men. Deacons, are y'all here? If you're here, say amen. You see, that wasn't quite a perfect amen, but I forgive them, right? No, they're good men. In all seriousness, they're good men. Support these guys. Encourage these guys as they serve the church. You say, "Brother Doug, it's kind of a different Sunday morning service for us, a message for you." And yes, it is very different. But you see, even the Sunday morning crowd needs to know the workings of the church and how a church is built. And a church is built. This is one of the key factors of building a church. Men who are willing to serve. I want to encourage our deacons. I love you. I appreciate your ministry. And I appreciate all you do for the church. Keep on keeping on. Don't let up. Okay? Keep serving. I want to challenge our deacons. Our deacon, you be faithful. Set an example, guys. You okay? That means come to church. I think every deacon should be at every service whenever the doors are open. Okay? Why? Because you're setting an example for others to follow. You keep on being a deacon. Keep on doing your job. Doing what God has led you to. Keep on being willing to serve, guys. And we as a church are going to keep on supporting you. Amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. You see, it's important that we get these offices and get these things right. Because if we're going to build a church, I want to build it God's way. Right? Makes sense? We're going to build a church, let's build it God's way. And the only way to build it God's way is to look into the Word of God and do it like God led the first church to do in the book of Acts. Now you may be here today and you're visiting with us. And as I said, this is not a normal Sunday morning message. But we're going to shift gears right here. I want to tell you what it's all about. It's all about people coming to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Are you a child of God? Have you committed your life to Jesus Christ? Listen, I want to tell you, and I tell you this in love, there is a heaven and there is a hell, and you're going to spend eternity in one of those two places. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave His life upon the cross of Calvary for your sins because you're a sinner. He died for you. Okay? The only way to go to heaven is to call upon the name of Jesus Christ and ask Him to save you. And He'll do that very thing. Are you a child of God? If not, we're going to have a verse of invitation. And we're going to invite you to come. Second purpose of the church is to grow disciples. Okay? And by that, I mean help people in their walk with God and help them to grow spiritually. Right? Now, if you're here this morning and you've been kind of a hit and miss Christian, you've noticed, you know, it's just kind of empty. Let's be honest and let's evaluate where we are with the Lord. What are you doing to promote your growth? Are you coming to church? Well, Brother Doug, I come to church a couple times a month. That's not enough. Okay? It's kind of like going to college and showing up in class twice a month and trying to figure out why you failed the final exam. Yeah. Come to church. What am I saying? I'm saying today's the day of a new commitment. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you're here today and the Lord's leading you to become a member of this church. You've been putting it off and you've been thinking about it. And you know, listen, if God wants you to serve at Victory, you come on. Let's go. We'll lock arms today and we'll go to work for the Lord. Right? Whatever your spiritual need is, you come. Maybe you just want to come to this altar and pray for our deacons. As I said, they're good men. I love them, every one. But I promise you, there's not a one of them who would not rejoice to know that you're praying for them. They'd love your prayers. Come on up, pray for them. Maybe there's another need in your life. The altar's open. Whatever your spiritual need is, as our staff comes to receive those commitments, you, all I'm asking you listen to Jesus and do what Jesus leads you to do. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word that we look at these offices like the office of a deacon. Lord, you were right. What a needed office in today's church. Men willing to serve, men willing to set an example, men willing to put themselves on the line for the increase of your church. And now, Lord, I pray, as we come to this invitation, you knowing the needs of every heart and every life, you know the ones that need to be saved, you know the ones that need to rededicate their lives, you know the ones that need to be on their knees at this altar. I pray your will be done. We pray these things, that every decision made here today will be to your glory, in Jesus' name.